Okay, today's daf is daf Tzadi Dalet. We're going to start at the bottom of Tzadi Gimel Amud Bet. Amar Abaye, it's about 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, Abaye is now going to basically say, we've been talking about this shinoi. If you steal an item and then you do something to change the item, so do we say that that's something different already? Or do we say that shinoi doesn't affect... Right, that once, and if the first opinion is to say that shinoi changes the item, in which case the gazlan at that point acquires the stolen item. It becomes his. He obviously is still required to pay back the person what he stole, but he's no longer required to pay back the object that he stole. He only has to pay back the monetary value. The other opinion says, no, a shinoi doesn't change anything. And he still, therefore, needs to return the item. And what we're now going to see is Abaye comes and says, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Ubeit Shammai, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Yishmael, Kulhu Svirelhu Shinoi b'mkomo Omed. These five Tanaim all hold that Shinoi doesn't change anything. It doesn't affect a kinyan, basically, that the gazlan doesn't acquire the item by changing it. Okay, so if you steal the item, it's still considered the original owner's item. It becomes yours. Right? It's actually a bizarre concept. It's one of those concepts I always struggled with, right? How can you say, I now own this, I stole it, now I own it? What does that mean, right? So they claim that now the reason why it does work is because this comes up in other areas. This concept of shinoi affecting a kinyan can apply in other cases, and therefore, we take... Right? The world of acquiring overlaps. And therefore, comes Abaye and he says, these five rabbis all say the same thing. Now he's going to collect different statements by these rabbis, he was talking about it in this context, he was talking about it in that context. So I did a little research on this concept. I did a search on Kulu Svirelahu, how many times this comes up. And then I remember that it also comes up in a different wording called where it says, so-and-so, 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 Amru Davar Achad. Okay, which is the same thing. And I did research as to who says these things, and I found out that the Kulu Svirelahu Abaye says 14 out of 17 times. It's in the name of Abaye, twice in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and once in the name of somebody else. There was a debate about who had actually said it. And when I looked up Amru Davar Achad, 14 times was Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that's the overwhelming majority. 5 times Abaye, 5 times Rabbah, and then 1 time like a few 5 random people. Okay, so if you do the addition, you get to Abaye out of all these times, 40, I think if I calculate correctly right now, it appears about 48 times. And of the 48 times, 19 are in the name of Abaye. Rabbi Yochanan, 16. Okay, so you see that the majority are basically either said by Abaye or Rabbi Yochanan. What to make of this? I'm not really sure exactly what to make of this, but I think that this is a... It's not like we always try to do this. I think this was their approach. Like, they had this approach to learning where they said, let's try to kind of consolidate who says what, and let's try to... You're going to see in this sugya specifically, I don't know in all the other sugyas, we can start paying attention next time we see them, Rava actually disagrees and says, I don't know why you think that this statement by this person means that he actually agrees with this. It actually means something else, and I can explain it differently. But their attitude was to kind of see if we could find a common denominator between rabbis about various opinions. So the strange one about this, if you notice, and the Gemara is going to talk about this later, is how could we have all these Tanaim agreeing with Beit Shammai? Right? Because here we have in the list that Beit Shammai is one of the Tanaim. By the way, it's only with Tanaim that all these statements are made. It's all saying, this Tana and this Tana and this Tana and this Tana all say the same thing. Nobody does it with Amoraim and say, this Amora and that Amora and that Amora. It's only with regard to Tanaitic opinions. And I think it was a style of learning of certain people, specifically Abaye and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so here goes. We're going to now go through the list of all these people. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had Amaran. Okay, that was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, if you remember, said in the name of Rabbi Shimon about the Reshit HaGez. Right, if you remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says that was in the last sugya where he said in the name of Rabbi Shimon tzva'o mitzaref, that if you color the wool, it's still mitzdaref. Why? Why is it still mitzdaref? Because you haven't changed it. This is if, right, let me just review for those who might have missed it yesterday. You're supposed to give the beginning of your shearings to the Kohen. If you need about 5 sheep worth of amount, right? There's a machloka whether I think it's 600 grams or 720 grams, something like that, of wool. If you take 1 or 2 and it's not enough, and then you go through the whole process, right, depending on which shlavim, but he's talking here about coloring it. Once you dyed it, then, according to one opinion, it's no longer mitzdaref. It's considered independent, and therefore you end up being patur from reshita gezanin, and it doesn't join with other ones to get to the shear that you need. So he says it is mitzdaref because there's no shinoi. It's still the same as if it was just the wool taken off, and therefore it's going to connect with all the others. So here you see shinoi b'mkomo amein. Okay, that's the first one. Beit Shammai Maihi. Ditanya natam machitim be'etnena. Do you remember this etnan zona? This is a gift. If you give a gift to a prostitute for having slept with her, you give her a gift. That gift cannot be used in the Beit HaMikdash as a korban, okay, some sort of sacrifice. So if you gave her chitim as an etnena, va'asa'an solet, and then, now here it's interesting, it says asa'an, it sounds like he turned it into solet, but there's different girsaot that say asa'atan, okay, she turned it into solet, but what you see here, according to this nusach, it doesn't really matter who changed the form, whether it was him who gave it to her, or some random person who changed it, either which way, it's, right, it's going to change form. Asa'an solet, zeitim, let's say he gave her zeitim as an etnena, asa'an shemen, anavim, asa'an yayin, okay, took grapes, turned it into wine, he gave her grapes, then they made it into wine. Tanichado, one source says asur. V'tani idach, there's a different brayta that says mutar. Okay, now at this point, we don't know who says asur, who says mutar. Now, if you say asur, then you're going to say, why is it asur? Because shinoi b'mkomo omed, right? Because it hasn't changed form, it's still called an etnan. If you say mutar, what do you say? This is no longer etnan zona, because you changed its form, and therefore you can bring it as a korban. Ba'amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says that Tani Gurion de Me'asporet, this was a person, his name was Gurion, he came from the city of Asporet, he learns about this braita, what does he say? Beit Shammai Osrim u Beit Hillel Matirin. His opinion was that Beit Shammai is Osir, okay? He's the one who's Osir, and therefore that fits in exactly with what Abaye was saying. And as Abaye is going to hold like Gurion, we're going to see later, the Gemara is going to say, how could everyone hold like Beit Shammai? I'm already giving you a preview into what's going to happen later in the Daf. How could everyone hold like Beit Shammai? They're going to say, oh, well, you could say that this wasn't really Beit Shammai. This was just Gurion's opinion. But someone else holds that this actually is a Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai Beit Hillel actually agree. And it was some other Tana that disagrees about it. So now you have, so Beit Shammai, Osrim, Beit Hillel, Matirin, and that's Beit Shammai. So now we're going to get a little bit into this machloket. My time at the Beit Shammai, what's their reasoning? Amar Kra, Gam Shnehem. The Pasuk says, the Etnan Zona and the Mechir Kelev, if you remember, and then it says, the whole Pasuk reads, Lo Tavi Etnan Zona Mechir Kelev Beit Hashem Elokecha, Lechol Neder, for any kind of promise, Ki Toavat Hashem Elokecha Gam Shnehem, because both of these are a Toeva. So now what's the gum coming to teach according to Beit Shammai? Lirabot shinuyehem, to include even if you change their form. Ubeit Hillel, Amarkra, Beit Hillel says, no, I learn the opposite. It says, gam shnehem, okay, what do we learn from the hem? Hem velo shinuyehem, right? Them, but not anything, right, if you change their form. Only them. Beit Shammai, right? One focuses on also these, also includes. The other one says these and only these. Ubeit Shammai, haktiv heim. So now we're going to have to say, what does Beit Shammai do with the heim and what does Beit Hillel do with the gum? Hahu mebayele, heim velo vladote heim. Okay, what does he say? Them but not their vladot. So if you give the zona an animal and the animal has a baby, so the baby is allowed to, the vlad is allowed to be brought as a korban. Ubeit Hillel, Tartesh Matmina, so where is Hillel going to learn Hem Velo Vladotehem? They say, Hem Velo Shinoyehem, Hem Velo Vladotehem. Okay, they use the Hem to include, right, to exclude multiple things. Ubeit Hillel, Nami Haktiv Gam, but now what do you do with this gum? Right, because the gum we say, right, okay, Beit Hillel, you want to say Hem is exclusive. It's basically excluding two things. But what are you going to do with the fact that gam is inclusive? So what do they say? Gam le Beit Hillel kasha. It's difficult. We don't have a good answer what Beit Hillel does with the word gam.
Okay. You don't have a good answer about what Beit Hillel does, or Beit Hillel doesn't have an answer?
Well, we're not asking Beit Hillel because we're coming later,
right,
and Beit Hillel is no longer there to answer the question. So we're coming to come up with suggestions as to, right. In other words, when they say my time into Beit Shammai, I don't think that they actually knew what Beit Shammai is. It's unclear. And even if they did know that they actually said this, and that's where their drashot really came from, we still haven't heard anything about Beit Hillel saying anything about the gum, so we're left with saying we don't really know. It doesn't say tiyuvta. Tiyuvta really means there's no answer, usually. Although sometimes it says tiyuvta, and you know, when the sugya ends, tiyuvta de Beit Hillel tiyuvta, then it means, oh, there's really a problem. Kasha usually means they didn't come up with an answer, but it could be we could find some answer. Okay, moving on to the third person. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Maihi. So where does he appear? The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer. Harei shegazal se'ah shel chitin. You stole a se'ah, a measurement of chitim, of wheat. Tachana lasha ve'af'a. You ground it, kneaded it, baked it. V'yifrish mimena chala. And then, you're a good Jew, even though you stole, so you're going to be mafrish chala on it. Ketzav mevarech. Okay? So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to make a bracha on this? So what do they say? Ein ze mevarech ela mina etz. V'al ze ne'emar botzea berech ne'etz Hashem. Okay? This is where the pasuk says, if you're botzea and you bless, you're mina etz Hashem. Okay? So someone who does betza and blesses is mina etz Hashem. So here, what do you see here? Okay? So this was coming to say that you need a special limud to say that if you would say that shinoi changes things, right? Then according to the all right, then it goes 1 second. Right, if shinoi would change it, then you would make a bracha exactly. Because right, I'm thinking because there's a problem with this, but I'll get to it in a minute. So what do you see here? That shinoi is not koneh, because if shinoi was koneh, it would become his, and he would just have a chiyuv to return the money. But the actual challah, you know, the bread he was making, would become his. And then he should make a bracha on it. And the fact that they say you don't make a bracha shows that shinoi b'mkomo made, it's still a stolen item, and therefore, if you bless on it, you're mina etz Hashem. Okay? There's a problem with this, which is the question doesn't make so much sense, because if why you would even need a pasuk for this? You don't really need a pasuk for this, because if you stole it and shinoi b'mkomo omed, so you're not chayav in chala at all, because it doesn't belong to you, and you're not chayav in chala on something that doesn't belong to you. In which case, it's a bracha levatala. In which case, right? That's even more serious than this pasuk that we're connecting. And then the question is, why do you even need to bring the pasuk according to that? So it's a bit of a question. I don't have a great answer, but it's a good question. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Maihi. Next one. Detanya klal zeamar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Kol shevach shishbiach gazlan yado al ha'el yona. Okay, if something, you stole something and it improved over time, so the gazlan's yad is ala el yonah. So what does this mean? Ratza no tel shivcho. If he wants, he can keep the shevach for himself, meaning he returns just the value of the item the way it was at the time of the theft. Ratza omer lo haresha chalafanecha. If he wants, he could say, look, this is yours, take it back as is. I know this is a very strange statement. If we're my kamar, in other words, who, the gazlan?
Yeah.
Yes, well, that's why it says Yado ala el yonah. He definitely is getting rewarded, okay? Because again, what did we say? It's all mishat hagzela, right? So he shouldn't have to give the guy the shevach. So now, but this is a very strange statement at the end. If he wants to, he can give him the shevach. What do you mean? You need to say that if he wants to give him the shevach back, he's allowed to? So my kamar, so Amar of Sheshet, this is the way we have to understand this source a little bit differently. Hachi kamar. Hishbicha no tel shivcho. If it's mashbiach, then the gazlan gets the shevach. He doesn't have to return it to the original owner. Kichesh, what if the reverse happened? What if the animal got thinner? Okay, right, we talked about this. The animal gets fatter or the animal gets thinner. What if the animal got thinner? Omer lo, harei shachal lefanecha, d'shinui b'mkomo omed. Ah, that's the case where he can say, where the chidush is, you can say, here, take it as is, because shinui b'mkomo omed, if I say shinui b'mkomo omed, what does that mean? This animal, right, it doesn't matter what happened to the animal, mishata gzela, right now I'm returning to you exactly what I stole. So it's true, it might not look exactly the same, but if we say shinui b'mkomo omed, exactly like what the chalak we just talked about, then, like Aviva said, it doesn't belong to the, let's say I'm the gazlan, doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the guy I stole it from. So if it belongs to the guy I stole it from, then I just give him the item right back because it's got his name on it. It's just his. It's not like I owe him. If we say shinoi is not b'mkomo omed, right, the shinoi is kona, then I'm kona the object, and what do I have to do? I have to give him the value that the animal was at the time of the gzela. This is exactly the opposite. I can say, harei shalcha lefanecha, even if now it's worth less because it never changed ownership. It's yours. I'm just returning it to you exactly the way it is now. It doesn't matter what, you know, that it doesn't look the way it was when I stole it. Okay. So now, ihachi afilu hishbiach nami. So then, right, here's the first argument. Well then, if it doesn't change ownership, then if it's hishbiach, then he should also have to return it as is and not say, well, now it's worth 150. It was worth 100 when I stole it. I'm just going to give you 100, right? We just said a minute ago, you only have to give him 100. Well, if this still has his name on it, then obviously you have to return the 150. So why not? Amre mipnei takanat hashavim. Okay, and this we're going to get to further down at the end of the daf also. What's takanat hashavim? It was a takana they made in order to encourage people to admit that they stole things. We all know how difficult it is when someone steals something to find it, right? Who stole it and how many times do robberies go on here? Nobody, right? You can never find your stuff. So they wanted to make it easier for people to return things. So let's say you stole something, did something with it, right? Or the animal got fatter. You're definitely not going to want to return it because now you stole an item that was 100. It's not worth 150. You're going to have to return the whole thing. So in order to make it easier for you to come forward and say, listen, I stole it, I'm willing to pay back the money, we instituted takanata, they instituted the rabbis takanata shavim, which means that we're going to make it easier for the gazlan. Okay, and this answers your question before, why is it so good for the gazlan? And that's the answer, because we want to encourage people to be chozer b'tshuva. We're going to take this even farther later today, which is going to be even more interesting, but here they're saying we're mekel on the gazlan in order to allow him to return the item and be chozer b'tshuva. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael Maihi. So now what's Rabbi Yishmael's opinion? Now we're at the last one. Ditanya, mitzvat pe'ah lahafrish minah kama. The mitzvah pe'ah is to be mafrish from the stuff that's already standing and before you cut it, right? You have a field, you section off a part of your field and say, this is pe'ah, this goes to the poor people, the corner of your field. Lo ifrish minah kama, but let's say you didn't do that and you cut down everything. So, mafrish minah omarim. Right, so then it's already in piles. You're mafrish from the piles. Lo ifrish mina omarim. I'm sorry, the bundles, not the piles yet. The bundles. You made bundles of your wheat. So then you have to leave some aside for the poor. Let's say you didn't do that. Mafrish mina keri. Then after you do the bundles, then you make a big pile. Okay, so mafrish mina keri ad shelo merchu. Mercho, what if you already did the meruach, which is the stage after you do the piles? I think you kind of flatten out the piles. How does it describe it there? I think it's some sort of, does they give a name? What?
Smoothing.
So you smooth out the piles. Okay, I don't know exactly how it works. But you smooth out the piles. Let's say you already did that. At that point, you're already mitchayev b'maser. If you remember, peah patur from maser. Once you don't take peah at this point, mercho maser v'notein lo. Then you take maaser from it, and you still give it to the poor people. Rabbi Shmuel says, you can even be mafrish from the Isa and give it to him. Meaning, right? In other words, the assumption of the Tanakhama is, only after Meruach you still have to give. But if you get to the later stage where you've turned this into a loaf of bread, then you no longer have to give peah. But comes Rabbi Shmuel and says, no, shino b'mkomo omeh, just because you turn this into a loaf of bread, you still have to give your peah. Okay, now that's the end of Abaye's five people. Amrle Rapapal Abaye, Ichapo Kohane Tnai Lashmuina Kebet Shammai, all these people bent over backwards to hold like Beit Shammai. In other words, Why would all these people be holding like Beit Shammai? Amar lei, hachi ka amri. This is the way I understand it. Lo nechleku Beit Shammai u'Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. In other words, you could say like a different, not like, if you remember, I already told you we're going to get to this. Guriel Dasparek said, remember there were two brayta. One was Oser, one was Matir, and we said, oh, the one who's Oser is Beit Shammai. So now he says, no. I actually don't think that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were arguing about this. They both agreed that it's Osrim. It was some other random Tana that held the other one, in which case everyone holds also like Beit Hillel. Now, this would obviously mean that Abaye now has to change what he said. It's not just Beit Shammai. It's Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And all these other rabbis say the same thing. Amar Rava, Mimai, from where do you think that this is what everybody holds? Okay, now he's going to disagree with a bunch of them. Dilma al-kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ha'atam. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda made a statement about the Reshit HaGez and said, Shinu b'mkomo omed. Maybe he only said it there, Ela b'tzava. Ho'il v'yachol abiro yidei tzvon. Maybe he was only talking about coloring that can be washed out. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. There's a type of coloring that can be washed out as opposed to the indigo, which can't be. Type that dye is permanent and this dye isn't permanent. And maybe he's talking about a non-permanent dye, in which case, what do we call this? It's a shinoi hachozer lebriato. It's only a shinoi midrabanan. And maybe el shinoi midrabanan doesn't change ownership, but shinoi midraoraita would. Okay, so therefore he rejects that guy and says it's not necessarily clear that that's what he holds. Va'ad kan lo kamar Beit Shammai hatam. Okay, maybe Beit Shammai only says it. Ela legavoha mishum de'imis. Maybe when it comes to the Etnan Zona, what are we going to say? Here we're talking about bringing a korban to the Beit HaMikdash. In that case, we're going to be machmir and say, even if it changes form. But in a regular case, we would say that shinoi changes ownership. Okay? Va'ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hatam, ela le'inyan bracha, mishum dehavei le'mitzvah haba ba'avera. Right? I don't know if you were thinking about this when I said it. But, you know, being machrich challah on a stolen item is like a mitzvah haba ba'avera. And that's the reason, because it's a mitzvah that you're doing. It's a bracha. We don't want to allow you to say a bracha, even if it's changed form, right? We're going to be machmir on you because the mitzvah ba ba'avera. Va'ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hatam ela b'hakchasha dehadar. Again, we're going to say when it comes to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the animal, right? The whole thing was hareshe chalapanecha. It thinned out, and yet, right? You returned it as is. You don't have to. You don't have to pay the extra, right? Let's say it was worth 100 and now it's only worth 75. So you could pay, right? You could give back the animal as is, because we say the shinoi stays the same. But what do we say? Maybe that's only because hakhasha is something that's reversible, because you could just fatten him up, right? It could potentially go back to the way it was. It's not a permanent change. And that's why shinoi b'mkomo omed, because it's not a real shinoi. Thinning out, fattening up, those are not real shinoiim. Those are not shinuim deoraita. Va'ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yishmael hatam. Okay, notice, by the way, I wasn't sure when I said in the beginning, I said some of them. He actually goes through all five. And all five of them he explains away differently. Ela l'inyan peah, mishum dechtiv ta'azov yetera. If you remember the pasuk there, it says azov ta'azov. So because there's the double lashon, it's giving extra strength to it to say, in the peah case, even though normally we say it's a shino and you're no longer chayav in peah, right, you turned it into bread, you're putra from peah at this point, because there's azov to azov, the double lashon says, even if it changes, you still have to. Now they're going to take this last one and say, well, if we have this azov to azov, then you might think that what? This is, if you remember, we have this concept that if something appears once in the Torah, what do we say? We can learn from it to other cases. So if we have this azov to azov teaching that the shinoi doesn't change anything in this case, so v'chitem, if you want to say ligmar mine, maybe we should learn from this to all other cases about shinoi, because here it teaches us the concept. Matanot aniyim shane. Matanot aniyim are different. You can't say that. Kedibai Rabbi Yonatan. Dibai Rabbi Yonatan, my time into Rabbi Yishmael. Mishum de kasavar shinoi eno kone. O dilma ba'alma kasavar shinoi kone. V'hacha mishum dechtiv ta'azov yetera. So now what he's bringing is, just to clarify, Rava now is saying that all these five opinions that you brought could be explained differently. He's not saying they definitely are. He's saying it could be potentially explained differently. So comes the Gemara to say that just like Rabbi Yonatan debated this issue, do we say it's because it's specifically matanot laniim and yazov tazov, or do we say this is bona ab for everything and teaches us about shinoi in general, that shinoi is in koneh, then just like he debated it, Rav is debating it. Okay, and it proves that there's a safek here and we can't be machriya either which way. V'im timtze lomer tamad Rabbi Yishmael mishum dekasav shinu eno kone tazov yitera dekatav rachman alamali. Now, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yishmael's reasoning is because shinu eno kone, not having to do with this azov tazov, then what are you going to do with this azov tazov? And what's it coming, the extra tazov, what's it coming for? And additionally, if you don't hold like Rabbi Yishmael and you hold like Rabbanan, Betula Rabbanan, who think that at an earlier stage already there's no chiyuv of peah, tazov yeterah dekatav rachman alamali. Again, either according to Rabbi Yishmael, if you don't understand it the way Rava understands it, or according to Chachamim, even if you do understand the way Rava explained it, either which way, you're going to have to explain, someone needs to explain this tazov, what's it doing there. So now they have an answer. Mebaile lechaditanya hamafkir karmo v'hishkim laboker ubitzro chayav beperet ubaololot ubashichah ubepeah upatur min amaser. So if you're mafkir, you're kerem. Now what's the story with mafkir kerem? Once you're mafkir, there's no matanot lanim. So you go to sleep at night, you're mafkir, you're kerem. You wake up early in the morning, right? What do? You're the first person to get there, so it becomes yours again. So what do we say? Because it says azov to azov, what do we learn here? If you're to do such a thing, you become chayav again in the peret and the olot and the shechah upeah. You're patur from maser, but you're chayav in all those other things because those are matanot lanim. They have the extra tazov to teach you. If you were to do such a thing to try to get out of your matanot lanim, there's no way to, it's no go. Okay? The maser, dafka not, because maser is not a matanot lanim. It goes to the levi. What you do about when it's maser ani, I don't know, because right, two of the years it's maser ani. But because it doesn't relate to the aniim directly, at least the general maser, so it's not included. You would actually be patur. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, so now, if we go back to this Rav Shimon ben Elazar, okay, that was the one, I'm confused, right, where we are. Rav Shimon ben Elazar was the one who said, Kol shevach shishbiach gazlan yado ala elyona. Ratzano tel shibcho, ratzano mer lo harei shalcha lefanecha. Okay, that was if it got fatter or thinner. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Umi amar Shmuel hachi, did Shmuel really paskin that way? V'hamar Shmuel, ein shamin lo legana v'lo legazlan, ela l'nizakin. Okay, this statement means, okay, this is, one second, okay, if you stole an animal and the animal dies, okay, so now, when it comes to nezek, we learned this, if you remember, your animal gores another animal. So what do? You can pay, the guy can keep his dead animal. The dead animal has a value to it. So let's say it was worth 100, now it's worth 30. So if it was worth 100 and now it's worth 30, so 30 you get from the animal, and the extra 70 you have to be mashlim. But for a ganav or a gazlan, we're not shamim the nevela. We don't evaluate the nevela to say, how much is it worth? Okay, let's say you stole an animal and the animal died. We don't say, oh, you can give the guy his dead animal and then add to it to make up the amount. We don't do that. We say, you can't give him the dead animal, you have to pay him the value. Okay, so now what would that imply? If you can't give him the dead animal and you have to pay the value, what does that show? There was a shinoi, the animal died, right? And because you're not allowed to give him the nevela, that shows the nevela now belongs to you, and you owe him money. So that would show that the shinoi is kone. And Shmuel, paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says the shinoi isn't kone. Okay, so we say, ein shamin lo legana v'lo legazlan, ela nezakin. This law only applies b'nezikin, and not by ganav. So bishlam ala Rava, according to Rava, remember, he said Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar doesn't hold shino b'mkom omed. He holds it for a different reason. So therefore, it works out nicely for Rava, da'amar, kicham Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar ha'tam b'hakchasha da'hadar. Hakchasha is a shinoi ha'chozer. And the animal dying is obviously not a shinoi that can go back, right? He can't reverse death. So therefore, lo kashya. Kika Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Deshina b'mkomo Omed Bakasha Dehadar. Right, he would only hold the halachas akim, and that's when Shmuel said the halachas akim. That's in a case where it's a shinoi shechozer. V'hichika Amar Shmuel Hatam Ein Shamin Lolaganav Lolagazan El Nizakin Bakasha Delohadar. There he's talking about a change that doesn't go back. Elal Abaye, but according to Abaye, Amar Kika Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Bakasha Delohadar Kamar. But according to Abaye, who holds that he holds. When Rabbi Shimon Elazar said he was talking about a change that's not chozer, ma'ika lememar, what can you say? So Abaye matnehachi. Abaye teaches it differently. He holds that Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Amru halachak Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the lay lo sfiherle. He holds, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, that they say, people say that we paskan like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but I don't agree. And that resolves it. Okay? So it's not that he held the halachas like it, it's flat. He said, people say the halacha is like him, but I don't agree because I think the chino is koneh just like I said it by the animal dying. Okay? Amar b'chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Dvar Torah, gzela hanishtanet chozeret be'enei. Shneemar v'eshivit hazela asher gazal mikol makom. Now we have a different opinion. B'chia bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, from the Torah, if a gzela changes, right, so then you have to give it back, right? I just want to, it's as is, right? Chozer be'ena kimochi hiachshav. Okay, so therefore, if it was worth 100, now it's worth 150, you have to give it back at 150 value. Okay? He says, you have to give it back because it says, Veshivit ha'gzela asher gazal mikol makom, right? This is different when we first learned, right? This matches the Shinu b'mkom omed. It's different from when we first quoted this pasuk yesterday and we said, right? The way it was when he stole it. If it changed, then it's no longer the gzela asher gazal. It belongs to him. He has to pay back the value. So he understands this pasuk differently. Gzela asher gazal comes to include mikol makom, in any way it is. No matter what, he focuses on the gzela, right? You have to return the item you stole. V'im tomar mishnatenu, but wait, but that disagrees with our mishnah, because what did our mishnah say? Right, okay, let's go back and read it. Hagozel etzim basan kelim, samer basan begadim. You don't return the beged or the kli, right? Mishalem kishat hagzela. So how do you reconcile? Rabbi Yochanan can't disagree with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said if you changed it, you don't return it. You don't return the actual item. Rabbi Yochanan says no, you do return the actual item. So what do they say? Mishum takanat hashavim. Okay, the reason why our Mishnah says that you don't do it is because of Takanat HaShavim. Because let's say, okay, this is the, I think we're going to see it inside Takanat Maresh, but this is if you took a beam and you built it into your house, you stole a beam, you put it in your house, you'd have to take apart your entire house to return the actual item. So they made a Takana that you don't have to do that in order to make it easier for people to be Chozer B'Tshuva. Okay? But Be'ikaron, in other words, you should be returning that item. So now they say, "Umiyamar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi." Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Because we're now going to see that he disagrees in a different place. Now, again, we've seen this many times, but we'll see it again now. "Vahamar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kistam Mishnah." It's not that Rabbi Yochanan actually said it somewhere else, but it's that Rabbi Yochanan has a klal that says Halacha Kistam Mishnah, and if he holds the Halacha Kistam Mishnah, meaning a Mishnah without a name, right, without a particular machloket, and it's just said in nobody's name. So if he holds that, then if we have a Mishnah that contradicts this, we can say that that contradicts, that's Rabbi Yochanan contradicting himself. You follow? Because a Stam Mishnah, it's as if any Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that we always hold like a Stam Mishnah. So if we have a Stam Mishnah that disagrees with this concept, we're going to say Rabbi Yochanan contradicts himself. Right? There's no room here for, oh, well, maybe he says in general it's a Stam Mishnah, but there are some exceptions. Right? They don't ever answer that. Even though in theory that could be a good answer. Right? The answer is, well, generally the halacha is a Stam Mishnah, but did Rabbi Yochanan mean in every single Mishnah that's a Stam Mishnah? There's many Stam Mishnahs. So now, what's the Mishnah that contradicts Rabbi Yochanan? Utnan. Lo hispik, we know this Mishnah. Lo hispik litnolo ad shetzva'o patur. If he didn't give it to the Kohen before he colored it, then he's patur because shinoi, right, is kone. And here he says, right, you have to return the stolen item in any form it is. So amar le, hahu midurabanan, hu midurabanan, Rabbi Yaakov, Ahumi derabbanav Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. Okay, so sorry. Amar lehu ahumi derabbanav Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. I was just reading this wrong. So he said to them, a particular rabbi, and his name, okay, it's interesting the way they say it, a particular rabbi whose name was Rabbi Yaakov, said, L'didi mefarshin l'minei derabbi Yochanan, kigon shegazal etzim shufin v'asan kelim, dehave le'shinoi chozer l'briyato. So now he's going to say the Mishnah is not a shinoi chozer l'briyato, and that's why in the Mishnah about tzva'ot patur, we're going to say it's koneh. And the case where he said you have to be meshiv the gzela asher gazal mikomakom, he's talking about if you stole etzim mishupin and you turned them into a kli, right? Remember, you took, they were already sanded down and you just stuck it, made a table out of it. Now you can take apart the table very easily and give back the item exactly as it was. It's not a real shinoi. So when he says mikomakom, it's not as far reaching as it sounds. He only means if you did some sort of minor change, a change that is reversible, then you'd have to return it, but you wouldn't have to. Okay, what's going on here is clear that there's these concepts floating around about how to understand shinoi. Every time a contradiction's brought, we're going to basically say, oh, well, that source was talking about a different type of shinoi than the other source, right? It's all their struggle with reconciling all these sources. Okay, now we're going to get to the concept of takanat shavim and how we try to help people be chozer b'tshuva. Very interesting concepts here. Tana Rabbanan, hagazlanim umelavei b'ribit sheichziru, very strange halacha. If a gazlan wants to return what he stole, okay, which is basically what we've been talking about all along, right? So until now, we assume the gazlan either returns the money, right, or he returns the item. Now, depending on the item, right, if it was changed or not changed, it all seems like he has to return the item. Shiva takzei lasher gazal. Comes this bright and says, if you're a gazlan or a melavei b'ribit and you go to return the item that you stole or the ribit that you took, ein mekablim mehem, you're not allowed to accept it if you're the owner or you're the loaner. You can't accept it. You say, it's very nice that you wanted to return it to me, but no thanks. V'hamakabel mehem, and if you do accept it, ein ruach hachamim nochehimenu. The rabbis are not going to be pleased with you. Okay? Which sounds like, is this halacha? Is this midat chasidut?
This is just interest on value.
Let's say I lent you 100 shekel, yes. You paid me 110, so I return you the 10.
But this is someone who stole 100 shekels from you, which is now more.
No. There's two things going on here. One is if you stole the item. Let's say you stole my pen and my marker, and you didn't return, and you come to return it to me. I say it's very nice that you wanted to return it to me, but here, keep it. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to say. And the milaveh b'ribit is also, you gave me 110, and I give you back the 10, and I say thank you, but you know, I realized it was wrong that I took the extra 10, I'm going to give it back to you. Now, why does this halacha exist? This goes back to takanat shavim. We want to make it easier for people to be chozer b'tshuva. And if somebody steals, okay, we're going to see right now in a minute, let's read this story, and then we'll see. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bimei Rebbe nishnet mishnazo. Okay, now he's dating this. He's saying, this was a particular takana that Rebbe instituted. Okay? Why did he institute this takana? D'tanya, here's a braita. Maseva adam achad shebikesh lasot tshuva. So the guy was a big robber, a big thief. He wanted to be chozer b'tshuva. Amar lo ishto. Breka, you idiot. Im ata useh tshuva, filu avneti eno shelcha. She says, every item you own is stolen. You're going to have absolutely nothing. Like, what are you going to have to return? Every single thing in this house. V'nimna v'lo asa tshuva. Okay? And because of that, he was so overwhelmed by the thought of having to give it all back. The botasha amru, hagazlanim ulavei ribiyot shechziru ein mekablim mehem. Ha'mekabel mehem ein ruach hachamim nochemen. This is similar to like a takana prizbo. Right? Which was also instituted around the same time, which is that there was a way to kind of create a better society. We want people to be chozer b'tshuva. So first we have this takanat shavim, that you don't have to return the actual item, just the value of it, so that you don't have to start taking apart your house where your beam is, okay? But then they go even farther to say, if you want to start fessing up, say you actually don't have to return all the items. In other words, now what's interesting here though is it doesn't say you don't have to return them. And we're going to see later some contradictory sources, and in the end they're going to kind of answer them up like this, which is that you have to go and try to return it, but the person who you go to return it to should have the sense to say, it's nice that you want to do tshuva, and it's great, and we're going to let you do tshuva, but I'm not going to take my item back. Okay, now there's a bit of a discrepancy here also about whether we're talking about the item or the value of it. In other words, it's possible. There's different ways of understanding this. You still have to return the value of the item. You just don't have to return all the items. Or maybe you don't even have to return the value. Like, it's just unclear from here exactly what we mean, how far we go with this. One second. And then also, if they don't accept it, so how are you fulfilling Ve'yeshiva Tagzeil HaShir Gazal? And this totally eliminates the possibility of you fulfilling this pasuk. So what they say is that by saying, I want to return it, that's Hashava. You've returned it. The fact that the guy is mochel on it, right? And you've returned it. The guy says, no thanks, I'm not willing to accept it. Then already, it's, you've fulfilled your obligation. Now, I understand you're all confused about this, which is totally legitimate, because we're going to see sources that seem to also contradict this. So you're not the only one confused. The Gemara was also somewhat confused by this. So the first thing they're going to say is meitivei. Okay, first contradiction. Hiniach lehem avihem ma'ot shel ribit. If the father died and left money that he had collected from ribit, af al pi shehein yodin shehem ribit, the children know that he took this money from interest, ein chayavim lahachzir. So now what does this imply? This is only talking about the children. So it sounds like if your father gave you Yerusha of ribit, you don't have to return it, but the father himself, it sounds like, would have to return it. It's only children who inherit it don't have to. Inu delo havihem chayav lachzir, but it sounds like the father does. So what are the answer? Bidinhu davihem nami eno chayav lachzir. Baha dekatani bididhu mishum dekabayla mine seifa hiniach lehem avihem para betalit v'chol davar mesuyam chayavim lachzir mepnei kvod avihem. It wasn't talking about the children because it wanted to say the children don't have to, but the father does. It was talking about the children because it was saying the children don't have to return in this case, but they do have to return in a different case. And what's the case they have to return? If their father left them a cow or a talit, which was very specific and everyone would be able to identify. This is interesting that people could identify cows, okay? So, right, we don't live where we really know cows, but in the cow world, you know, people for sure recognize different cows. So anything that's misuyam, they have to return mishum kvod avihem, because people will say, oh, that's the cow that the guy got from his ribit payment, and everyone will know. And then it'll be an embarrassment to the father. They're constantly mentioning the father was a guy who took interest. Okay? By the way, what's interesting about this is they don't say this contradiction from our Mishnah, because what our Mishnah say? You have to return it, just right, mishat ha-gzela. So also they explain that there's a difference. These sugyot are all talking about, and this would answer a lot of the questions we're grappling with. There's the lashon in our Mishnah is mishalem, and the lashon in these cases is machzir. Machzir is when somebody wants to return something out of their own volition. And there's also other sugyot that seem to imply that for sure you have to return the item. So there's a difference between if the Beit Din says you have to return it, or the guy brings you to court, then for sure you have to return it. But if you come on your own and you already want to be chozer b'tshuva, that's the case where people shouldn't accept from you. You follow? There's a difference between if someone who comes forward, it's like if you go to a store and they, you know, you say, oh, listen, you know, you gave me the wrong change, and you try to get back money, and sometimes they say, just keep it, right? Or you go to the teacher, I really, you know, you gave me some extra points. So what? They're going to go to the kratech, and they want you to be honest, right? They want to, it's the same thing here. They want you to, but that's only if you're chozer b'tshuva, whereas in the other cases, you're not. Just want to finish one last thing. This is very interesting. This leads into a whole separate discussion, which is, according to this, because of kvod avihem, you have to return this. So now they say, Tana Resha Nami Biditu Kvod Avihem Chavim Lachzir. Okay. Ikri Kan V'Nasiba Amcha Lo Ta'or Bosem Aseh Amcha. But what do you mean you have to, out of respect for your father, you have to return this? Your father was a criminal. And there's no laws of kibud. This is a very fascinating sugya. We'll get to this also when we get to Sanhedrin. There's no chiyuv of kibud. We learned this from Nasiba Amcha Lo Te'or. Only if the Nasi, what do you mean Nasiba Amcha? Any Nasi is going to be Ba'amcha. Like, well, obviously, we're talking about Nasiba Amcha. So what do they say? Nasiba Amcha means if he's Osema Samcha. If he's a Nasi who's a criminal, okay, who's not, right, who's doing bad things, then you don't have to, you don't have this obligation not to curse him. You don't have to respect him. So therefore, how can you have, you don't, okay, and this is a fascinating sugya, do you have to respect your parents if they go against the law? Okay, Okay, where is there a place where we say there is no kibud av at that point? So what do they say? So according to this opinion, you're not right. Only if there was sema samcha, you're not chayav in kibud av. So why do you have to return this item if your father was a malave b'ribi? So the answer is k'damar Pinchas. Just like Rabbi Pinchas said in a different issue relating to this, b'sha'asat tshuva, it's a case where he was chozer b'tshuva, hachanami b'asat tshuva, if he was chozer b'tshuva, well then, i'asat tshuva, if he was chozer b'tshuva, then what? Then he should have returned the money, right? My bai gabei, why should he have anything left? He should have returned it, he bai le'la adure. So, shelo ispik lachzir ad shemet. Okay, it's a case where he didn't have a chance to return it. As you can imagine, he's on his deathbed, he's chozer b'tshuva, but he didn't return the money yet. So then you have to return it mishum kvod avihem. But if he stayed and died a malave b'ribi, never did tshuva, then you wouldn't have to return it mishum kvod abba. Okay, you understand the kvod abba case here, that the people are going to constantly mention the father as being a malave b'ribi. So if he really was chozer b'tshuva, then you don't want that to be. If he wasn't, then, right, at least according to this, you know, if you bring up the other sugya, we're going to have to understand that if he wasn't chozer b'tshuva, then you don't have a chiyuv at all in kibud av. Okay, the Gemara from the continuation is going to bring a bunch of other contradictions to the statement that you don't have to return the item. Again, if you return it, people shouldn't accept it from you. Okay, it's really, and again, it goes to you as the person should try to return it. And knowing, you know, you have to know that there's potential that they might actually take it from you. Because especially when they say, Emro chachamim nochei menu, it's not so clear, is this a real halacha or is this, you should be a good person and you know, midat hasidut. But they really shouldn't accept it from you. So, you know, and then like I said, by you making the act to say, I feel bad that I did this, that's already fulfilling your obligation of Yeshiva Tegzela. And if they decide to be mocha, so they decide to be mocha.